You are Locked On Orioles, your daily Baltimore Orioles podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey there, Orioles fans. Welcome in to the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As always, I'm your host, Connor Newcomb, and well, it looks like actually today is going to be opening day for the Orioles. At least we hope that will be the case. Of course, yesterday the O's were supposed to play with everybody else on opening day on Thursday, April 1st, but that did not happen. The Red Sox saw what looked to be a little bit of rain in the forecast, I guess, and said, no, we're canceling this whole thing at about 9 a.m. Eastern time on Thursday, and we're playing the game on Friday. Not really sure if it ever did rain too much up in Boston, but the game was not played. Of course, many, including me, were not happy about this decision by the Red Sox. The rain percentage chance was, I don't think, ever higher than 30, maybe 35% from the hours of 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern time when the game was supposed to be played. Meanwhile, if you watched one of the early games, Cleveland and Detroit played in snow for the first inning. We know that back in 2003 on opening day, the Orioles played a lot of a game in snow on a walk-off win on opening day 2003. A lot of teams played in the cold yesterday, but that apparently did not matter to the Red Sox, who could not upset their pristine opening day and potentially have a chance of a drizzle during the game. So instead, opening day is today, which was supposed to be an off day. Instead, 2:10 p.m. Eastern time, it will still be John Means for the Orioles, Nathan Eovaldi for the Red Sox to open the season for both of these teams. But on today's episode of the Locked On Orioles podcast, a little bit of a change for the content of today's episode, because the initial plan was to recap opening day and then preview the rest of the weekend series. But we will still preview now this entire weekend series between the Orioles and Red Sox, which will now be a traditional Friday, Saturday, Sunday series. We will also take a look at, you know, a little bit of the action on opening day from the rest of Major League Baseball, and I will give out my official Major League Baseball predictions for the entire league for the 2021 season. So that's all coming up on this episode of the Locked On Orioles podcast, which is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the app and join me later today to get in on the action. We're supposed to do our Locker Room yesterday after the game. Game didn't happen. So join me today at some point during today's opening day game. We will go live for about an inning, so you can download the app and join in on the action to talk some Orioles at Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. So, you know, first just wanted to take a look at, you know, kind of the action from opening day yesterday, because the Orioles, you know, did not play, but of course there were still 13 games that ended up being played on opening day, and it was a pretty good opening day for Major League Baseball. Of course, got to start with the other game that was not played. Neither of the Masson teams ended up playing a game yesterday, as the Mets and Nationals were also postponed for different reasons. We had learned back on Wednesday that the Nationals had some positive COVID-19 tests. They ended up being the only team with COVID-19 issues to start the season, but it does not look good for the Nationals. Reports are saying that at least four players at this point has tested positive. Mike Rizzo, the Nationals GM, said basically every player, staff member, coach, all in quarantine right now just to try and stop this spread as best they can. So the game between the Mets and Nationals was postponed yesterday. It was initially pushed to today, Friday. They've already said they're not going to play Friday. They would play as early as Saturday, potentially. But, you know, all signs pointing to this whole weekend series between the Mets and the Nationals being postponed and washed out, and the Nationals not playing until Monday at the earliest. So, you know, obviously no names have come out on which players from the Nats have tested positive, but we do hope that everybody there is safe, as healthy as they can be, and hopefully the players that did test positive are asymptomatic and turns out okay for them. But again, it's another reminder that, you know, even though things may seem better than they were, you know, back in July when we started this last season, we are still in a pandemic trying to play a Major League Baseball season. So that was a pretty good reminder of that yesterday. But other than that, of course, there were 13 games that went on, and it started with a great game. Blue Jays, Yankees in the AL East on ESPN. You had the Blue Jays beating the Yankees 3-2 in 10 innings. Randall Grichuk, who is usually the Oriole killer, had the game-winning hit, an RBI double in the top of the 10th to lead the Blue Jays to a 3-2 win. And that Blue Jay bullpen looked pretty scary. Hyunjin Ryu had a good start, but they've still got all those names of guys you might not know too well, but have some good stuff. Tyler Chatwood, David Phelps, Rafael Dolis, Jordan Romano, and Julian Merriweather. Merriweather struck out the side in the bottom of the 10th with a runner on second. Had a pretty good day. Miguel Cabrera, how about that? Hit the first home run of the Major League season off of Shane Bieber in the snow in Detroit. That was pretty cool. You look at Twins Brewers. Twins pretty much had that game in command. And then the Brewers score three runs in the bottom of the ninth off of the new Twins closer, Alex Colome. And then they walk it off in the 10th inning on a Arcia walk-off fielder's choice, really, for Orlando Arcia, scoring a run at the plate to win it 6-5 in 10. You had the lowly Pirates going and beating the Cubs on the road on opening day. They got to Kyle Hendricks early. NL Rookie of the Year frontrunner, Key Bryant Hayes, had a two-run homer in the first inning. You had the Phillies walking off on the Braves in 10 innings. Gene Segura with a walk-off single in the 10th. But it only got there because the Braves tied the game against Aaron Nola on a two-run homer in the 7th from Pablo Sandoval, who is still doing it in an Atlanta Braves uniform. That was pretty cool. You had Clayton Kershaw got roughed up at Coors Field by the Rockies. Kershaw giving up 5 runs on 10 hits and 5 2/3. Rockies beat the Dodgers 8-5. You had a crazy game between the D-backs and the Padres yesterday, in which Arizona scored 6 runs on 4 home runs in the 5th, but San Diego was able to come back and win it 8-7. They're going to play some fun baseball games, the Padres are, this year. They got home runs from Hosmer and Will Myers. Tim LaCastro hit one of the home runs for Arizona to tie the game, who basically has no power whatsoever, so that was pretty cool. You had the St. Louis Cardinals with the new Nolan Arenado lineup. Dylan Carlson in there had a 3-run homer. They score 6 in the first against the Reds, and Luis Castillo go on to a win. Wild game in Kansas City, Rangers and the Royals, each team scoring 5 runs in the first inning. It was 5-5 after one, just too much Royals offense. They would prevail in a 14-10 win. Then you had the exact opposite in Rays Marlins. You had a heck of a pitching duel between Sandy Alcantara and Tyler Glasnow. But an Austin Meadows solo home run in the 8th was a difference in a 1-0 Rays win. Then you had the Angels and the White Sox played a pretty good game late out in Anaheim. You had the Angels getting 2 unearned runs in the 8th to win the game 4-3. Astros beat up on the A's, and then one more crazy game last night. The Seattle Mariners beat the Giants by a score of 8-7. Seattle trailed 6-1 in the 8th inning. But they ended up scoring 6 runs in the 8th to take a 7-6 lead. Alex Dickerson homered in the 9th to tie it, and then a walk-off walk to Jake Fraley in the bottom of the 10th, and the Mariners won it 8-7. So a pretty good day of baseball despite the Orioles not playing. But, you know, speaking of games around the league, I've got predictions on all of Major League Baseball. The division winners, the playoff teams, the playoff series, the World Series, and the awards to be handed out. All those predictions on Major League Baseball this year coming up next after this break. We'll get back to the baseball in a second, but first got to tell you about betonline.ag, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Now, we've had the NBA going on, the NHL going on. The Final Four is this weekend in both men's and women's college basketball. And then, of course, baseball has started as well. And if you're looking to place a wager on any of those sports, head over to betonline.ag. But it's not just sports that they cover. BetOnline even covers award shows, TV shows, and reality TV as well. They've got real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and best of all, it is free to sign up. So head over to the website or use your mobile device today to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit at betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. So with this extra day now given to us before the Orioles season starts because of the phantom rain in Boston, wanted to get you my official MLB predictions for 2021. Now, I know we're one day in. Is that a little bit of cheating out of 162 games? Probably not. But here are the predictions I have for this season, which means they are sure to be wrong, but just what I'm seeing across Major League Baseball. Give you the division winners, the playoff teams, how I think the playoff series go, and then hand out all the awards in the league. So I will start with the American League. And in the AL East, I think the Rays are going to be right there. I think the Blue Jays are going to have a good season, but I do still think it's going to be the Yankees eking out a division championship. In the Central, I know it hurt to lose Eloy Jimenez, but I look around that division, and I just think the White Sox will have enough firepower to win the AL Central. And then in the West, they were the team that probably looked the worst yesterday, which was the Oakland Athletics, but I still believe in that team, Matt Chapman, Matt Olson, that pitching staff. I've got the A's winning the West. As far as the wild card teams, I like the Minnesota Twins, Nelson Cruz, with that team and all the firepower they have. I think they made their pitching rotation a lot better this year. I have them taking the first wild card, and I'll take the Tampa Bay Rays, the defending AL champs, as the second wild card in the American League. So looking at how things would play out in the playoffs, I think the Twins would beat the Rays in the wild card game. Then in the division series, I'd take the Yankees over the A's and the Twins over the White Sox, and give me the Twins over the Yankees in six games in the ALCS, sending the Minnesota Twins, who have not won a playoff series, a playoff game, frankly, and who knows how long. I say they finally get over that hump, finally do beat the Yankees in a playoff series in the ALCS and represent the American League in the World Series. I think Kenta Maeda is going to be have a fantastic year, which I'll talk about later, as their ace. They've got some good depth of pitching behind him. You know, a guy like Randy Dobnak, who, you know, would be a starting pitcher on a lot of teams, he is coming out of the bullpen right now because they have five starters that they're more confident in than Randy Dobnak, who they just gave an extension to. So I like how the Twins look this year. The bullpen is solid. Rogers at the back end, Duffy in there as well. They've got some good stuff. And of course, that offense, the Bomba Squad, they're going to continue to hit. Heading over to the National League, I think the Braves continue their run as NL East champions. I just like, you know, Acuna, Albies, Ozuna, that entire team. The pitching staff is great. Max Fried, you know, Soroka is going to be back. It's just a well-put-together team in Atlanta. In the Central, you know, most people taking the Cardinals, you know, and some taking the Cubs. I'm actually going to take the Brewers. They had the walk-off win yesterday. You know, they still have Christian Yelich. I think he bounces back from a really disappointing 2020 season. I like Brandon Woodruff. I really like Corbin Burns as their number two starter right now. I think they got some good pieces. You know, Josh Hader and Devin Williams, that 1-2 in the bullpen, probably nobody better than that at the back end of the pen, which really helps in the playoffs. They're going to need to upgrade that offense. You know, there's not much behind Yelich. I think they could get a bat at the deadline to help them, and I think they win that division. And then in the West, you know, the Padres are great, but that Dodgers team is too loaded. I'm going to take the Dodgers to win the West. But, of course, the Padres will be my first wild card team. They're going to be exciting this year. Machado, Tatis, and everybody they brought in this offseason. It's going to be a battle between them and the Dodgers. Both are going to be over 90 wins. But I think the Dodgers do get the division, gives the Padres the wild card one. Then I went out on a limb a little bit. I'm going to give the Philadelphia Phillies my second wild card spot. I think they finally get into the playoffs with this team. They've kind of been building around Bryce Harper for the last couple of years. You know, the bullpen was a disaster last year. They built it up to at least be league average and maybe a little better. Jose Alvarado has been a big name out of that pen. They walk it off yesterday to start the season. I like what they have in that offense with Hoskins and Segura and Alec Bohm being a really exciting rookie. So I like the Phillies to get in. But in that wild card game, I do like the Padres over the Phillies. Then I like the Padres over the Dodgers in the division series, along with the Braves over the Brewers. Then I've got the Padres over the Braves in the NLCS in six games, setting us up for a Padres-Twins World Series. I know it's a little off the board a bit to go Padres-Twins, but give me the Padres over the Twins in seven games to win the 2021 World Series. Yeah, I'm buying in. I'm drinking the Kool-Aid on the San Diego Padres this year. They just did so much in the offseason. You know, you have Tatis and Machado in that lineup with that you know, Slam Diego lineup. Then you go out and add Yu Darvish and Blake Snell to the top of your rotation to add to the guys like Denelson Lamet, Chris Paddock, and others that you already had in that rotation. They added Joe Musgrove there as well. They added some pieces to the back end of the bullpen. Just a really exciting team. And, you know, why not buy into the team that really went for it this offseason? So I'm going Padres over Twins in the World Series. Then as far as awards go, I made some picks there as well. Starting with the American League, you know, I'm buying in on the A's this year, so I got to go with Matt Chapman for my AL MVP. He's been around that conversation for a couple of years. He did have kind of a down 2020. I think he bounces back but with the caveat that Mike Trout probably will end up deserving the MVP by the end of the year, but the Angels will probably be a middling like 82 and 80 team like they always are. So I think they give it to Chapman if he has a great season and the A's do win that division like I'm predicting. AL Cy Young, I'm going to give out to Kenta Maeda. He is the ace of the Twins staff, started on opening day. You know, after coming over from the Dodgers last year, had a really good season last year. You know, the Dodgers kept moving him between a starting and a bullpen role. Came to Minnesota, they finally let him be a starter. He's really broken out. The stuff looks really good. He had really the best spring of any starting pitcher in Major League Baseball. I think Kenta Maeda's got the stuff to win AL Cy Young, and he's going to help propel the Twins to the World Series. Rookie of the Year, got to stay close to home. I've been saying it over and over again. Ryan Mountcastle is my AL Rookie of the Year. I think he could hit 30 bombs this year and really, really impress people, despite the names like Randy Arozarena, Wander Franco, and others that could be in that conversation. Jared Kelnick as well for the Mariners. Comeback Player of the Year, I think everyone's on the board with this one. Give it to Trey Mancini. If he's just playing baseball this year, that's AL Comeback Player of the Year. My Reliever of the Year, you know, I could have gone off the board with this one, but I kind of stayed true to Liam Hendricks. You know, he was a great closer with the A's for the last couple of years, best closer in baseball over the last couple of years. White Sox gave him a big four-year deal this offseason. I think if the White Sox are going to make some noise, which I think they will and win that division, they're going to need Liam Hendricks to be locked down again, so I'm going to give it to him. And then my Manager of the Year going to be Rocco Baldelli, the skipper of the Minnesota Twins. Then over to the National League. Maybe a little bit of bias here with my MVP, but I think Manny Machado, you know, everyone's talking about Tatis in that San Diego Padres lineup. I think Manny Machado is going to be the difference for the Padres. I think this is his huge, huge year, his first huge year in San Diego. Give me Manny for NL MVP. But I do think, again, like in the AL, I think Juan Soto will have the numbers where he should win it, like Trout in the AL. But I think the Nats are going to be a losing team this year and not be fun to watch. So I think they'll probably give it to Manny if his numbers are a little worse, but he's on, you know, a great team like San Diego. Cy Young Award, you can't go away from Jacob DeGrom. I know there's guys like Scherzer and Kershaw and others in that league, but DeGrom just has the best stuff. He's going to maybe single-handedly try to keep the Mets in this race. You know, I didn't pick them to make the playoffs, but I still do think DeGrom's going to do it. Rookie of the Year, I'm giving to Sixto Sanchez. He, you know, looks to kind of fall into that number two spot in the Miami Marlins rotation. You know, he can throw up near 100. Really exciting rookie right-hander. I like Sixto to be Rookie of the Year. Comeback Player of the Year was kind of tough to who they might give it to. I picked David Price. You know, he did opt out of the 2020 season. We'll see kind of what his role is with the Dodgers, whether he's a starter or a reliever. But I think he ends up in the rotation really helping LA more than people think this year. Reliever of the Year, I'm going to go with Jose Alvarado. Mentioned him. He'll be at the back end of the Phillies bullpen. That Phillies bullpen going to need to be a lot better if they're going to make the playoffs at the second wild card, as I predicted. And I think Alvarado is going to be the guy. He's got that wicked sinker from the left side at 99 miles an hour with crazy movement. I think he'll be big for the Phillies. Then my NL Manager of the Year, got to go with Jace Tingler, the skipper for the Padres. They're going to have a huge year. So make sure to write down all those predictions and bet against all of them. You could probably bet against a lot of them over at betonline.ag, but no, they're probably mostly going to be wrong. But that's how I see Major League Baseball playing out this year. But let's see how this weekend is going to play out between the Orioles and the Red Sox. When we come back to wrap it up, we will preview that weekend series that will now start today for opening day between the O's and the Boston Red Sox. So we have been telling you about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market for a while now. Built Bar is the amazing low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber, amazing-tasting protein bar with 100% chocolate on all bars. But now's the time to find out which Built Bar is the best. It is Built Bar Madness. And officially today, we do have a winner of the Built Bar Madness. It is Coconut Brownie Chunk that takes home the cake and takes home the protein bar in the Built Bar Bracket Championship matchup, as Coconut Brownie Chunk took down Cookie Dough Chunk in yesterday's final. So the people have spoken. That is the favorite Built Bar of the people. But if you want to order a championship bar or a championship bar in Coconut Brownie Chunk or any of the flavors, remember you can go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order. Again, that is LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order at BuiltBar.com. Get your hands on the best tasting protein bar. So now we hope today is the real opening day for the Orioles after the phantom rainout on Thursday in Boston. So we're going to preview this entire series, which is now Friday, Saturday, Sunday, between the O's and the Red Sox up at Fenway Park. But before we do, got to tell you about two other podcasts here on the Locked On Podcast Network, starting with the Locked On Today podcast. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods. And another pod that some of you will really like here on the Locked On Podcast Network is the Locked On MLB Prospects pod. If you're the type of baseball fan that can't help but get giddy over prospects, we have the podcast for you. Locked On MLB Prospects, hosted by minor league play-by-play voice Aram Layton, is the only daily podcast devoted entirely to the stars of tomorrow. Follow Locked On MLB Prospects on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods. So we're looking at this weekend, and of course, opening day is today. If you're listening to this on time, Orioles and Red Sox, 2:10 p.m. Eastern Time on Masson. John Means goes for the O's. Nathan Eovaldi goes for the Red Sox. Nobody got pushed back or anything. Just obviously to the day of the game. We talked about this on yesterday's episode. Go back and listen. You know, Means has had a little bit of trouble with the Red Sox while Eovaldi really dominated the Orioles last year. But looking past this game, which we already previewed yesterday, we get to Saturday's game two. It is a 1:10 p.m. Eastern time start. You've got Matt Harvey making his Orioles debut against the rookie right-hander Tanner Houck for the Red Sox. Of course, Harvey coming over on the minor league deal for the Orioles. He makes the team, becomes the number two starter after a pretty good spring training. And we know he's trying to rebound from a few bad seasons with the Mets and then the Royals and the Angels as well. And Harvey, you know, not super familiar either with facing Boston. He has actually never pitched at Fenway Park in his career. He has one career start against the Red Sox. It came at Citi Field back on August 28th of 2015 when Harvey was pitching for the Mets in the middle of probably his best season with the Mets, 2015, when he helped lead the team to the World Series. He threw six scoreless innings in that game against Boston, just allowed two hits, eight strikeouts, and one walk. It was a game that the Mets bullpen actually ended up giving up in a 6-4 Boston win, but he's never pitched at Fenway, so this will be something new for Matt Harvey. On the other side for Tanner Houck, you know, pretty much everything is new for the rookie right-hander, 24-year-old who the Red Sox took in the first round of the draft, 24th overall back in 2017 out of Missouri. He really shot through the minor league ranks and actually ended up making his debut last year with the Red Sox. He got three starts in September for Boston, and he was absolutely fantastic. In those three starts for Boston in September last year, he pitched 17 innings, had a .53 ERA. He gave up just two runs, only one of them earned over 17 innings, just six hits allowed, struck out 21 batters and walked nine with one home run and one hit batter allowed. Those starts came against Miami, the Yankees, and the Braves. So all three were against eventual playoff teams at the end of last year. Tanner Houck's got some really, really good stuff. He's got a fastball that has some natural sink on it, throws it 91 to 93, and then a really good slider, which is his put-away pitch. Had a 48% whiff percentage on that pitch. Nobody could hit that thing. He actually did not give up a hit on his slider last year. He got 10 strikeouts with it and did not give up a hit on the pitch last year. He throws it about 36% of the time, and it is a really good one, that slider. And then he has, you know, a little bit of a changeup, split finger pitch that he throws in there here and there, but, you know, more of a four seam fastball. And then he's got that sinking fastball and then that slider, which he's going to use a lot. You know, his arm angle is interesting from the right side. You know, he's not over the top. He's kind of a sidewinder from the right side, and that's what makes that slider so good and makes him so hard to hit. So it'll be interesting to see him against the Orioles for the first time on Saturday. And then the series does end on Sunday. It's another 1:10 p.m. Eastern time start on Masson. Bruce Zimmerman, the rookie left-hander, makes his third career appearance making his second start with the Orioles as he won a rotation spot. The Baltimore native will pitch up at Fenway Park. The left-hander, of course, did face the Red Sox last year. Remember, he came up, made that start against Tampa on September 17th, got hit around a bit. Then he came out of the bullpen September 23rd at Fenway Park. So he's actually pitched at Fenway before, had a really good outing out of the bullpen to end his season last year. Four innings out of the pen, just one run on two hits, five Ks, and one walk for Zimmerman against a fairly similar Red Sox lineup that he will see on Sunday. And Bruce will face off with the veteran right-hander Garrett Richards, who will pitch for the Red Sox. He will be making his Boston debut, the 32-year-old right-hander who way back in time was a first-round pick of the Angels back in 2009. He has been around the big leagues. Of course, he's dealt with some pretty bad arm injuries, missed basically, you know, all of 2019, missed most of 2016 and 2017 with the Angels. He spent last year with the Padres, ended up making 10 starts, 14 appearances, 51 innings, had a 4.03 ERA in San Diego in the shortened season last year as he kind of returned from injury and started to get his stuff back. Richards, another guy who has kind of some natural sink on his fastball, but you'll see a lot of four-seamers, which he runs up to 95. You'll see a good hard slider, which he throws around 88, 89 miles an hour, and then he'll toss in a curveball that's a lot slower in there at times. But just like Tanner Houck, that slider, that is his put-away pitch. That is his swing-and-miss pitch. Guys hit only 147 against it last year. The whiff rate is around 40%, so it's a really good fastball slider guy in Richards, just like Tanner Houck. Of course, he spent all that time in the American League with the Angels for most of his career, so he does have experience against the Orioles. 8 appearances, 4 starts against the O's in his career. In 29 and two-thirds innings against the Orioles, he has a 5.46 career ERA against Baltimore. Orioles hit him up pretty good in his time with the Anaheim Angels, so that's who the O's will see on Sunday. So enjoy this weekend of baseball. Enjoy delayed opening day today and the rest of the weekend at Fenway Park. Of course, the Orioles started last year taking 2 out of 3 up at Fenway. I would take that certainly once again to start 2021. And then we will be back with you here on the pod on Monday. We'll break down the entire weekend series and give you my thoughts on what happened with the O's over the weekend. And then we will preview the next series, which comes up at Yankee Stadium, Orioles and Yankees Monday through Wednesday of next week. So that all comes up on Monday when we're back here on the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.